Blog Talk Radio.
Truth.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence by the military-industrial complex.
Are the Bible's prophecies today's reality?
This could be the sign that signals the return of Christ.
World leaders are working behind the curtains.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. Secret societies, secret oaths, secret proceedings.
Now, get ready for an hour of truth that will make you think. We'll examine Bible prophecy and see how close we are to the return of Jesus Christ for His church.
You're in the zone. Politics, Israel, the Middle East, the revised European superstate,
and more. All in the zone. This is the Prophecy Zone with your host, Phil Armstrong.
My name is Brenda Johnson, and I am your host. On this program, we will be talking about issues related to prophecy, counterfeit Christianity, religious tolerance, and world religions. How does deception in our time play its part in these last days? What groups, what movements, what religions are taking center stage as we see the day of our Lord approaching? Are we getting closer to the great apostasy spoken of in Daniel, or are we already there? We will be talking about all these issues and taking a look at different religions and other topics that are related to this. On the beginning of the show, it said that we are going to be going for an hour, but my show is 30 minutes long for right now until I can get it going. This is the first show, and I welcome everyone who is on air and who is listening to it later in their own leisure and time. Today, we will be starting a series on the emergent movement. I've had a lot of people ask me about the emergent movement. I've been studying it now for 4 years. It is also called the emerging movement or the emerging church or the emergent church. There's also another term for this movement, and it's called the Great Emergence. We will be looking at these terms. We'll be discussing them because some people are quite confused about what the differences are. I like to go straight to the authors and the leaders of the movement. And according to Dan Kimball, one of the leaders of the emergent movement. He is the author of The Emerging Church, Vintage Christianity for New Generations, who, by the way, has a foreword by Rick Warren and Brian D. McLaren, defines its beginning on his website this way and how these words started to morph and be used. The term emerging church, says Dan Kimball, was mainly being used at the time around 1997 to 2001, for the most part among the average church leader who began adopting the term to describe churches focusing on ministry methodology for emerging generations and what was different than the boomer church, the seeker church, and the traditional churches. So that it was coming something new and fresh and emerging. He goes on to say that during the time of 2001 to 2003, the term emerging church became more and more popular. Other websites started using it to describe churches, etc. And it was popularized by his book and used by Gen Xers and postmoderns and simply meant churches who were missional and being the church in our emerging culture. Now, you may need hear some words that you need to take note of, and I'll try to point them out to you as we go along. Missional and emerging culture, those two words you need to pay attention to, because they sound good, but they do mean something that we need to define, because they define it. And we will talk about this more in detail later in our study, maybe not today. I may not have time to go there, because what I'm going to focus on today is defining these terms and letting you get to know what the movement is all about, in a sense, according to the terms, emerging or emergent, the great emergence. And also, I'm going to introduce to you the leaders of the movement to make you aware of who is leading the movement, because this movement is very complicated to understand. It took me a long time to actually even identify where to go to get the information that I needed to understand the movement. Now, for Dan Kimball, the term that emerging church simply meant churches who are focusing on the mission of Jesus and thinking about the kingdom in our emerging culture. It meant churches who are rethinking what it means to be the church in our emerging culture. It meant churches who are being the church instead of going to church in our emerging culture. Emergent and emerging, to many people, are confusing terms. Do they mean the same thing, or is there a difference? Some say emerging is okay, but stay away from the emergent church, or vice versa. Confusion is justified, and most don't know what it means. So I'd like to go directly to the movement to get the definitions of the terms. Now, here's how Dan Kimball describes the differences. Because the words were so similar, emerging and emergent, through time they sort of became interchangeable, and rather than two distinct terms as they were originally, because emergent was part of the growing emerging church discussion, it sort of became confusing knowing what was emerging and what was emergent. What was the same, what was the difference? He goes on to say, as the terms emerging church and emergent began being more and more known, the confusion, of course, was natural because of their similarity. Some people also started thinking emerging church over even emergent was a style of ministry. I still hear people today saying we have an emergent worship service, and all they are talking about is a style of worship, catering to young people. Emergent is an organization and a network, not a style of ministry. Now, the emergent church is also not just a style of ministry. It is about rethinking what it means to be the church in our emerging culture. But that is also what emergent is doing. So the confusion in blending the two terms is understandable. Through time, people started even saying emergent church instead of emerging church, or use both terms as describing the same thing. Instead of having emergence focus more on theology and emerging church more on methodologies, as it started initially. So what he's saying is that the emerging church was actually something that was coined by Dan Kimball on methodology. He is the leader who actually discusses a lot of how you do church in the emerging church. He talks a lot about style. He talks a lot about the worship service, which you can add, all the flavors that you can put there, and what kind of settings to put in place. The emergent church is some more philosophical leaders like Brian D. McLaren, who actually focus on the theology of the movement, the teaching, what the Bible says. What are we doing with our faith? How are we going to be working it out in our lives and in society. So the term emerging church was originally used for churches rethinking what it means to be the church in our emerging culture, and about the mission of Jesus, etc. And the term emergent was used to primarily describe the new theological discussion taking place. So far, it all sounds innocent, right? At least you get the at least until you get further into the movement. What is this new methodology, and what is this new discussion in rethinking of theology? They call it right now a conversation because they really don't know what to call it yet, and they don't really want to call it anything because they don't want to be labeled with terminology that will keep them in a box. And that's what makes it so difficult to identify where they're coming from and where they're going. Excuse me. Now, the great emergence was kind of coined by Phyllis Tickle, another emergent leader. She's a lay minister and a public speaker out of the Episcopal Church, and she calls this movement the Great Emergence. She says in an advertisement on her book called The Great Emergence that we're living in an amazing time. She goes on to cite pivotal events that have occurred throughout the church history and claims that every 500 years there is a major change or a shift. She says we are in one of those periods. According to her and many adherents of the emergent church movement, one of these periods right now is taking place. She says we are moving away from sola scriptura, Torah, or solely scripture, selling it per se in what she calls a big rummage sale. She says, what is happening in our culture, in our faith, is together the great emergence. And again, she says, this is one of the 500 years of upheaval points of time. What is giving way right now is Protestantism. So the Protestant denomination is what she says is giving way right now. What is coming is something entirely new. So what is this new thing that's coming? I'd like to take time to, for those of you who do not know what sola scriptura, if I'm saying that right, or solely scripture, means is the doctrine that the Bible contains all knowledge necessary for salvation and holiness. Consequently, sola scriptura demands that only those doctrines are to be admitted or confessed. Excuse me. That are found directly within the or indirectly by using valid logical deduction or valid deductive reasoning from Scripture. However, sola scriptura is not a denial of other authorities governing Christian life and devotion. Rather, it simply demands that all authorities are subordinate to and are to be corrected by the written word of God. Sola scriptura was a foundational doctrinal principle of the Protestant Reformation held by the Reformers and is a formal principle of Protestantism today. So what she's saying is that we are selling this off. We are no longer accepting or going with sola scripture. We are turning away from that. Now, after imploring a crowd at a 2007 conference on the Great Emergence in New York City, Phyllis Tickle said this to her audience: your kingdom is in your hands and in your shaping. Go forth and bring forth a new form of Christianity that will serve a new culture, and may God bless you. This is how she ended the conference. And she said, go forth and bring forth a new form of new form of Christianity that will serve a new culture. That's why I feel this is very important that we discuss, is because what is this new form of Christianity that she's talking about? Now, how did I first start studying this movement? It was about 4 or 5 years ago. I heard it from a friend, I think. I don't know. I can't remember where I heard the term. And I started searching the internet because I do like to study a lot of Christian movements. I studied the Todd Bentley revival in Lakeland, Florida, and I spent about 40 days, I should say, listening to his and watching the revival on the internet out of the 120 that he had. But we're not talking about Todd Bentley right now, but I do like to study a lot of different movements. And so when somebody told me about the emerging church and said that it was quite dangerous because it's rising from within the church, it's not something outside the church, just like, you know, Todd Bentley was in the church as well. Anyway, I started going on the internet to kind of study it. I visited cyber churches, which is very popular in this movement. I listened to blogs that people were talking and having conversations. And then I sought out different websites. I didn't know what I was looking for. I found some of the discussion on the blogs disturbing, but I listened anyway. I'm not really afraid to listen to discussions that are not friendly to my own. But I listened to blogs, and for example, one person started a discussion in a chat room titled, "Can you be an agnostic and still be a Christian?" I thought that to be an oxymoron, because the very nature of an agnostic is one who wonders if God even exists. How can you be a Christian and be an agnostic? The panel discussion was even more disturbing as the conversation went on. It didn't lead to someone gaining a clear understanding of God, Jesus, or Christianity, but it actually criticized the faith in which it said it supported. Then I found a remake of a Christian creed on one of the cyber church websites. They called it the Starlight Creed. It went like this. And you got to listen to this carefully, because there's a mixture of truth and error in this creed. "We believe in one God, the eternal power of light and goodness, the maker of space and time, who was and is and who is to come. We believe in God, our Maker, who love fires the sun, whose word made the world, whose law is the good. We believe in Jesus Christ, child of God and Mary's child, born into Palestine, a prophet of Israel born in a stable, a victim of empire, born to a woman and made in her image, born of the Spirit and made in her image, born of the Spirit, the icon of God, born as a savior of sinners and victims, born as a healer of wounds and diseases, born as a teacher of wisdom and justice. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the intimacy of God with creation, the power of God against death, whose breath lives in all life, whose peace gathers the church, whose love sends God's people in mission. We believe in one God, our Maker, Savior, and Helper, a trinity of beauty and holiness." And if you would review this creed, you would go back and you would find a few things that you would be disturbed about, and one of them being saying that whose law is the good. Another part would be a victim of empire. That is a very emergent term, which we will explain later on, and you'll start seeing what these words actually mean. Born to a woman and made in her image. Born of the Spirit and made in her image. So there's the icon of God. These are all words that are very emergent and quite disturbing once you understand what they mean. As you begin to study the movement, you'll find new definitions and incantations of old things that do not mean what they did originally. Now, the more I read on these blogs and in this internet, the more I listened, the more I discovered website after website, the more difficult my search became. There was no defined doctrines or beliefs. That the search was very difficult and overwhelming. The movement seemed indefinable and insurmountable. All I knew at the time was there was something dangerous about the movement and its infiltration in the church as a whole, but I didn't know how to pinpoint it until I watched a PBS special on YouTube with Brian McLaren, someone I had never heard before up to this point. The host of the show introduced Brian McLaren as the forefront runner and a significant leader in the movement. It was at that time I decided to find out who the leaders were, so hopefully from there I could find out what the movement was all about. The show was one that actually led me to try to find out who the leaders were. And what I did is I started with Brian McLaren, and I'd look on his books to see who endorsed him. Of course, one of them, Elizabeth Warren as well, endorsed Brian McLaren. I think right now Rick Warren is trying to kind of step back from Brian McLaren and his theology, but that's for another show. excuse me. So when I was watching this show, I was kind of fascinated by it because, you know, I thought, well, maybe it's not as bad as I kind of thought over the internet. I watched it, and here I saw a group of people who were talking amongst each other, and it looked comfortable. You know, people were asking really tough questions, something I really love because I'm very analytical and I like to debate, and I like deep thinkers. So I would like a group like that. I would love to be actually a leader or a teacher in that kind of a group, to be able to articulate the wisdom of God or the word of God. So I liked that. And I also didn't mind the candles that they have set up in the dimming room or whatever, because I kind of like to make my atmosphere with the Lord. No, I don't have to because I talk to him at every point of the day. But I do like to go outside at night in under the stars and talk to him. So I was watching this and I thought, maybe it's not as bad as I thought. Maybe the discernment that I had was not quite correct, or I was reading something into it. But I had to confirm my findings or my feelings or I really don't go by my feelings, but I had to confirm it so that I could really identify this movement for others. So I started to bother, what did start to bother me were the answers that Brian McLaren and the leaders in the video were giving to the people who asked the questions. That sparked my curiosity even more about the discerning of this movement. It wasn't quite the talk and the way it was set up. Later on, you'll find, as we discuss this, that they bring in a lot of mysticism and a lot of Hindu practices in with this part of this methodology. I'm going to go through some of the leaders here, and I may only have time to do that. I wanted to make you aware of who these leaders are. One is Brian McLaren. Another one is Rob Bell, Dan Kimball, Doug Padgett, Tony Jones, Leonard Sweet, Phyllis Tickle, P. Peter Rollins, Richard Rohr, Spencer Burke, Tony Campolo, which is kind of disappointing to me because I liked him when I was in my youth. He used to be at missions conferences. The Reverend Jim Wallace, N.T. Wright, which is Nicholas Thomas Wright, Selmanovic, I think. Brennan Manning. And I've had controversy with Brennan Manning because some people say that he isn't emergent, that his books are really good and he talks about really wonderful things, but he is part of the he's a contemplative speaker. I wanted to, I could go into more detail about these people, and I will as we talk more about them as individuals, what they are part of, and what churches they go to, things like that. I find it extremely important that we identify these people so that we know what they're teaching and that there are teachers that we do need to be aware of. I appreciated back in the 80s when we were told about the New Age movement, and I was given names of people who I needed to stay away from, or I needed to learn how to combat. And if I didn't know, have this information, then I wouldn't have ever been able to do what I did. I studied the New Age movement in depth, and I really believe that the emergent movement is actually the New Age remorphed, coming through the church. And I will discuss that and show you how they compare. There are some differences, but it is quite frightening to see their similarities. Now, I wanted to take a few minutes before I have to sign off to actually give you some snippets of what some of these authors are saying. Brian McLaren, in his book, The Secret Message of Jesus, writes, "Sadly, for centuries, at a time in too many places to count, the Christian religion has downplayed, misconstrued, or forgotten the secret message of Jesus entirely." And then I wonder, you know, off to the side, what secret message is he talking about? Anyone who has a new message is really not new, but it's something other. He goes on to say, instead of being about the kingdom of God coming to earth, the Christian religion has too often been preoccupied with abandoning or escaping the earth and going to heaven. We have betrayed the message that the kingdom of God is available for all. Now focus on that, all. Beginning with the least and the last and the lost. And have instead believed that and taught that the kingdom of God is available for the elite, beginning with the correct and the clean and the powerful. Rob Bell, "The Bible is a human project rather than the product of divine fiat." In other words, it's not divine direction. It is a human project. That's out of his Emergent Mystique. It was an article in Christianity Today. Now I realize, you know, I'm not taking these out of context. I'm actually focusing you in on some of the things that they're actually teaching. And I know they're just snippets that makes it sound like it could be out of context and you'd be tempted to want to go and read it in context. And you have, I encourage you to do so. But I want to let you know that we will go into further detail. And the snippets I'm talking about is because this doesn't even get close to what they're teaching in this movement. Tony Jones, when I mentioned in the leader, says, "I have come to reject the notion of original sin. I consider it neither biblically, philosophically, or scientifically tenable." Phyllis Tickle, she believes that